This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Dr. Jim Baird from Indiana. First off, Kim Baldwin, a McPherson, Kansas producer.
Sorghum is utilized in a lot of different areas. And one thing that I'm really thankful for is the versatility of it. You know, for us, we have ethanol plants that we can easily send our sorghum to in central Kansas. But there's some really cool emerging markets and opportunities for sorghum and sorghum producers from, you know, the pet food industry, obviously human food and that food industry, aquaculture. So it's not necessarily just something that you feed the hogs or the cows, you know, as part of their ration anymore. There's just a lot of opportunities, and I'm just excited that, you know, there are potential markets that are going to be including some sorghum.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable Dr. Jim Baird. He's representing the 4th Congressional District of Indiana, a member of the House Ag Committee, actually a chairman of a subcommittee for conservation. I believe research is in there. And is biotech part of that?
You've got it. You've got it.
So we met a few years ago when you first came to Washington, D.C. as a member of the House Ag Committee. Think back to those days and where you are today. Are you still optimistic as you were then that
I am.
You
I am,
could solve
I think,
problems?
And here, yes. And here's my reason why. My background with agriculture and with farm people and ranchers, I mean, they're the salt of the earth, in my opinion, and they really are the foundation and the background kind of people that really, they're patriots, and so they've done a great deal to help this country move forward. And by having grown up in that atmosphere and hard work and recognizing what they do, it's a pleasure to be here to represent them and give them a voice in legislation.
Speaking of legislation, in the process of writing a farm bill, the 2023 reauthorization of the farm bill, what's on your radar?
Well, G.T. Thompson is the chair of the committee, and he's been going all around the country having listening sessions, and I've attended some of those, and it's really interesting the things you learn about the different parts of our country, even though a lot of the problems you face, either water or temperature or time, are similar across different parts of the country. But then there are peculiarities that are also regional, in my opinion. And it's good to find those out. And it's good that we have the frontline information so we can make sure that the decisions we make about this 23 Farm Bill, and there's, you know, the 2018 Farm Bill passed just before I got here. And it really did a lot of good things from the standpoint of conservation and all the various 12 titles that are in the Farm Bill. So now I think we just need to make sure we can tweak it appropriately to make sure all the industries are represented within agriculture and in the food supply chain. So
we just received word from USDA, I think yesterday, that 1 million acres had been accepted in the general sign-up for Conservation Reserve Program, CRP. One of those programs that kind of authorized through a farm bill, that's one program. There's another one, Conservation Stewardship Program, CSP. Could those hold additional benefits for producers down the road?
I think you're correct in the fact that, you know, the CRP, the Conservation Reserve Program, has worked very well to allow some of those acreages that maybe are less productive, gives an option and an alternative for using that land rather than enforcing production. And then when you take the accomplishments we've had in production and seed varieties, in fertility, the productivity off of the remaining acres, we continue to produce more and more crop and more yield every year. So then back to your question about the TSP, I'm not sure every state's involved in that, but it's one that it allows more flexibility and allows you to adapt to your own farm, and it can get involved in all the various aspects from forestry to conservation to water resource management and so on. So probably need a discussion about that and so on, which kind of leads me into one of the bills that Senator Braun in the Senate and I have the matching bill in the House, the TSP bill, which is technology service providers, and the NRCS has suggested that they may need someplace in the neighborhood of 3,000 to 5,000 more individuals to provide services to farmers about all the aspects in the USDA programs, so that they can customize, so to speak, a program that fits that farm or fits the need they have in a particular area. And I think most people would say that trying to navigate the USDA and the NRCS programs and so on probably does take some additional help or some additional advice, and those technicians are available to do that. You know, if you're involved in production agriculture, you're really interested in getting the crop or the animals or whatever out and make sure that they're producing well. When you take all that time, you really don't have time to study some of the programs that are available that could be beneficial to have a TSP provider, technical service provider, go through that and look at whatever your situation is on your farm or ranch, and then design a program, customize a program that accomplishes that. And so there's more flexibility in the TSP program, but the CRP program has been around and very successful. So
really, part of what we're talking about is just making improvements over time. And those improvements don't just pop out of clear, you know, the clear blue sky. It takes research dollars. And are you watching how the research title is addressed as well?
Absolutely. I mean, the investments that we make in research, that's why we've been able to move agriculture from 80 or 100 bushel the acre to 300 bushel the acre in corn. It's really helped us produce more soybeans per acre, and it's quality soybeans. So the investment in research is extremely important. And my background even emphasizes that, my research background. And so some of the members and witnesses that we have testifying tomorrow at our subcommittee meeting have that kind of background, and they're going to focus on research as well. But I don't think you can do and make the kind of progress that we've made in agriculture in the last 30 or 40 years without research. It's the basis for making improvement. And you got sound information and sound data to make the changes that you make. You know, with the amount of money that we're putting into an acre of crops, you know, you could have as much as $1,100 involved in a corn acre. Similar kind of dollars for soybeans. Then you add all the machinery and the equipment and the purchase of the land, and land prices have escalated in the last few years. So when you add all of that together, you've got a lot of dollars at risk through the resources that you in the crop. So I think it's really beneficial to have research, and I want to give, which is extremely important to have the research, so that the decisions you make are sound ones, so that you can make that kind of progress. So research is critical, and I want to give credit to not only the land grant universities and their research program, but other universities and also agri industry and the suppliers. I mean, the research they do and the technology they provide is phenomenal for being able to do what we do. And then the equipment manufacturers. I mean, you know, I had one individual that told me that he was planting corn at 10 mile an hour, and I said, you need to slow that down. But anyway, the point is, we have the machinery today that can help us accomplish that, and that's because of research. I mean, everyone playing in the field. I mean, I'm talking about agribusiness, the universities, the farmer themselves are really interested in good information. And research is where you get it.
And that's part of one of the titles of the 2023 Farm Bill, which means we'll need to have this conversation again because hopefully you'll be passing the bill before the end of this year. Will you come back and see us?
I will, absolutely. I always enjoy being with you.
It's the Honorable Dr. Jim Baird, who represents the 4th Congressional District of Indiana, member of the House Ag Committee, on today's Agribusiness Report.
American agriculture creates millions of jobs, all the while feeding and clothing the world. But with many policymakers so removed from the farm, attacks on farm policy threaten our livelihood and quality of life in rural America. Our strength is our willingness to work together for the benefit of all. That's why business and farm leaders have formed the Southwest Council of Agribusiness, to defend the bedrock of our economy and our way of life. This is Larry Combest. The Southwest Council of Agribusiness is at southwest-council.com.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack talks about bio-based product production.
We recently provided resources to a soybean company in Ames, Iowa, that is basically transitioning soybean oil into a thermoplastic rubber. That is a low-cost paving product. In other words, it will help road construction and reduce the cost to counties and cities of road repairs. Folks, this is an amazing new opportunity to take an agricultural product and convert it into something more valuable. That does two things. It creates yet another revenue source for farmers, but it also creates processing jobs and manufacturing jobs in rural places. The Department of Agriculture has a bio-preferred program where we're encouraging federal agencies to buy bio-based products. There are 139 categories of those products. 139 categories. Within each category, there are numerous products. So we're talking about literally hundreds of opportunities to create new manufacturing and new opportunities for farmers. We all know about biofuels. We all know about the importance of continuing to stress E15, continue to stress the need for soy diesel, continue to focus on ways in which we can expand that traditional biofuel industry, but there's a new industry forthcoming. And that new industry is sustainable aviation fuel. You know, I get electric cars. I totally get them. You drive them. If the charge wears out, you pull to the side of the road, you pick up your cell phone, you call for a charge, you get back on the road. But seriously, what if you're in a plane and it's over a body of water? We need a sustainable low-carbon fuel. It's a 36-billion-gallon industry that doesn't exist today, for all intents and purposes. It's a new opportunity for American agriculture to lead the way.
Talking bio-based product production, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Representative Jim Baird
from Indiana.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Where is the beef industry heading? Find out firsthand October 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Gaylord Texan Resort in Grapevine. It's Texas Cattle Feeders Association's annual convention featuring John Foley, a former Blue Angels pilot, and mentalist and illusionist Wayne Hoffman. The 2023 TCFA annual convention in Grapevine. Learn more online, tcfa.org. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Are there some downside risk to trade? Ralph Osso with the WTO.
The downside risks to the forecast include the vulnerabilities that have been revealed in the banking sector of late. It appears that these recent banking failures in the U.S. and Europe have been mostly contained, but rapidly increasing interest rates could create further strains in financial markets that then could, of course, also have implications for international trade. But there's also some upside potential, particularly from the relaxation of COVID-19 restrictions in China, particularly for services such as travel and transport. And, of course, a peaceful end to the war in Ukraine and a reduction in broader geopolitical tensions would also greatly improve the outlook for the global economy.